Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fridays at 5:30, and now there's an open. It's so beautiful. Your voice, Joseph.
It's angelic.
It really is.
I mean, it really, I've had people tell me that it's a combination of like Fergie and Jesus.
Yeah, that's kind of what
it's the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Rob's the voice of a generation, so, I mean, together
you and
guys,
I should do a duet.
You're Pepsi?
He is.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what the voice of a new generation?
The new generation. Yeah. That's why he's the songbird
that
over
was a
there.
Fail.
I'm actually kind of disappointed in you that neither of you got the Step Brothers reference.
Oh, I got the Step Brothers reference.
Yeah. I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. You know that Sook
I'm the voice of an angel, you know. Yeah. People have told me it's a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Okay, so that's from a movie.
That's from Step Brothers.
See, Sook says a lot of things, like probably 5 times daily on our show. And we've been on the air 15 years together.
Yeah.
And he says all these clever things. And I'm like, oh, that's really funny. And then later, because I don't watch a lot of movies. Controversial. Later, I find out he's just reading a line from a movie.
Well, yeah. It you know what it does is
I thought
one,
he was so clever, but he's not.
No.
He just
watches a lot of movies.
I just have good recall.
Bingo.
And nothing else to do. But it's the best is when you have like an obscure reference.
Mm-hmm.
Just something like a Hudson Hawk reference or... You know,
and
like
there's
a,
usually one listener that gets
it.
It's like, yeah,
and
I really appreciate that.
Throw it out there, and there's someone out there.
Does someone
like,
respond?
Someone out there will respond and be like, great reference. And I'm like, you got that? Because it'll just be the most obscure thing in the world. And you're like,
one
person out there gets it.
We used to try and have, back in college, we used to try and have like full conversations using different movie quotes.
Yeah.
Like you have to use you have to respond to what the person said with a different quote from a different movie.
When I did the Talking Ducks, or we did like the Pac-12 show.
The now defunct.
Well, I think they might still have it. We're just not allowed to be a part of it. Back before they
still have that show?
I'm on that show.
What?
The TV show?
You're on there?
Yes.
That thing still exists?
I started that thing.
What?
Yes.
Why is Sook not on there?
Because he's a jerk.
Yeah, they don't let us.
He's an A1 jerk.
Great A jerk.
They don't allow us to be on any of those programs anymore.
I thought
anymore.
That wasn't on there. I mean, no, I know. I mean, I got
I don't think they do turfed, the Pac-12 show anymore. Because I used to do some Talking Duck stuff, and then we would do like a Pac-12 like roundup, and then it was just we did like an Oregon wrap-up after every game.
Yeah.
And once you got us all kicked off.
No. I got myself kicked off.
But that started the whole ball going downhill of the station being
please,
removed.
Don't pin that on me.
We're not allowed to be.
You're
was
right.
He, doing?
He is a
what,
great
was night putting?
Who?
Were you you
me?
To get yourself. Were you simply putting at night?
Yeah.
With the 15-year-old daughter of the dean?
Okay, so another movie reference.
Thank
yes.
you.
You
good.
Don't
eat
yes. Caddyshack, nothing?
Yeah, I got that. I got
no,
that.
You good. Didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No.
Yeah, sure did.
No. He's in Lumberyard.
Yeah. That's a long story.
He owns two of them. What's wrong with those?
You don't spend much time there, do you?
No,
I don't.
It's a long story. I do a lot of drugs.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Every day I do.
The bottom line is
so what seems to be the problem?
When I was on those shows, my daughter would always give me things, and she's like, she would give me like some obscure thing, and like, you have to work it in. And so, like, there was Adam Willis, who was like one of the producers, would always like be in my ear. He'd be like, what the hell was that? My daughter would just give me some obscure phrase, and at some point during my breakdown of the game or the highlight package, I would work it in. And it was.
You were doing bits.
I was doing bits. Yep. Yeah, and some
we'll still do that during like I'll send that. I know you want to go somewhere else, but if you ever watch any of the Fox Sports college football stuff, Joe Davis was my old partner, and every once in a while I'll send him like, you have to work the word advocate or whatever, quantity. you know, proliferate
synthesizer.
You know, yes, exactly. Photosynthesis.
I'm in trouble at that point.
Yeah. Suit can't say photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis?
Yeah, yesterday it got me. It got me good. I tried like six times.
Are you gonna try for Joe?
Do you want me to try? Should I like concentrate and like find like my inner peace?
I think you got this.
Synthesizer.
I did it.
Yeah.
It's you.
It's the because it's the keyboard, the synthesizer. Yeah.
Well,
right?
I mean, you look at Joey Harrington and there's a calmness that comes over. This is why he was a quarterback.
Herbie Hancock.
You look and you look at him and you want to perform. Yeah. That's why he's a leader.
You performed.
Of men. He's a leader of men.
Okay, where were we? Oh, Talking Ducks still exists.
Oh yeah, he's Talking Ducks.
I didn't know that station was still on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NBC Sports.
And
Northwest.
You're doing that show, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they pay you for that?
I trade out. They broadcast my band and foundation.
Oh, that's right. I hosted that once.
You did.
I was really good at it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's why I was never invited back.
Yeah, that's why you were invited back.
Okay.
15-year-old daughter of the dean, simply night putting.
Nah, I liked it a lot better when I got to playing it. Yeah.
Where were we?
Oh, I was going to ask you because you did some color.
Yep.
Like you said, you mentioned the Fox thing, and that triggered. I was like. What ever came of that? Like, you didn't want to keep doing that? Like that?
Well, first of all, I got fired. I mean, let's start with, you know, square one.
They turfed you too?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happened to Rob.
Yeah. But in all reality, like, I wasn't going to continue doing it. And I think part of the reason why I got let go is because they could see that I wasn't, you know, long-term committed to it. And because I didn't want to be gone every week. I mean, when you're calling games, it's, you know, it's like, oh, it's got to be a great life. Well, sure, you take off on Thursday and you fly to Manhattan, you don't fly to Manhattan, Kansas. You fly into Kansas City.
And then you drive.
And then you drive, you know, 2.5 hours through the wheat fields to end up spending a weekend in Manhattan, Kansas to call a game to then catch a red eye back out through Dallas to get home for Sunday.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a lot.
And do that every single weekend from mid-August until mid-January. And so if I was going to miss every single weekend with my kids, you know, why not just stay in the NFL and hold a clipboard for about 10 times the salary than it was to call football games? So, you know, it was fun until my kids were, you know, at the age where it's like, I want to be around. And so, you know, maybe in 20 years, if people still, you know, like to hear me babble on, then I'd think about it. But
does coaching ever interest you?
No.
Why?
Do you know how much time that takes?
Yeah.
I've always said that I would never let my family's well-being be tied to the stupidity of an 18 and 19-year-old young man. Because that's the truth. If the kids you recruit decide to not work, decide to not go to school, decide to screw around and get themselves in trouble, well, then you don't win ball games. And if you don't win ball games, then you're fired. And if you're fired, you have to pull your kids out of school and move them across the country. And no thanks. And plus, even if you are winning and you're there, I mean, those coaches, I've told you the stories of Jeff Tedford who would literally sleep in his office from Sunday until Thursday because he worked so much. And he would keep when he was the O coordinator at Oregon, he'd keep an air mattress in there. But then once he became the head coach at Cal, he had him build in like a Murphy bed into the wall. And it was just like this, you know, the wooden paneling and, you know, pulls it down. I was like, oh, nice touch. Well done.
What about going the Keenan Lowe route though? You know, high school or small college coordinator or Joey's camp or.
Yeah, you know? I still don't think people understand how much time it takes.
Yeah.
And that's not something my focus is my kids. I coach fifth grade basketball.
Yep.
And I coach second grade basketball.
Are you a good
right
coach?
Well, let's just say our first year we went 0-for.
So you're not a good coach.
We had a big 0-for-10.
We're now seeing why he's not climbing the coaching ladders.
But year two, we did have the largest turnaround in CYO history. We went from 0-10 to 7-3. So seven game turnaround. I'm making up that largest turnaround thing.
Well, but it's probably in the book. What clicked? I'm just kidding.
But I'm sure you have friends that you played with that gone into the coaching ranks, and it's interesting because you know there's a lot of obviously ex players that go into it, and it's funny because I've seen some guys like Kalani Sitake was a teammate of mine for 4 years, and Kalani has done real well. He's a head coach at BYU now, and you make a couple $1 million, but boy, I got buddies that are grinding out as position coaches at Southern Tallahassee U after 10 years, and I don't think people understand how little, like, it's one thing if you become a coordinator and, but boy, I've got friends that here we are at 38, 39, 40 years old that are making 45 grand a year.
I was going to say, I guarantee really small places. That you guys are making more money than a lot of the under college coaches, like, you know, I don't even know, you know, but a lot of those, even assistant coaches at major colleges do not make, I mean, not that $100,000 is anything to shake a stick at, but for time spent, value received, I honestly think a lot of guys, there were conversations I had with guys after we were done and said, you know, what are you going to do? I'm going to coach. Well, why? Yeah. Why would you want to do that? And the answer was because I don't know how to do anything else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a way, I think that is a huge fear. And it's one of the things I admire about Joey is you don't seem that way, but I knew a lot of guys that their whole life was football.
Right.
And when that goes away and you're no longer able to play, there are guys that absolutely flail. Mm-hmm. And for I think a lot of those guys, coaching isn't a desire. It's a need. It's a necessity. It's a way to continue to do the only thing you've ever known. And yeah, I mean, it's a grind. I had a buddy of mine that got hired at Stanford. And he was making what, $175 a year. Couldn't live. There was no, and this was years ago. There's no
Palo Alto.
How do you live? Like I was talking to him on the phone once and he was just lamenting. He goes, I've got a wife and three kids. He goes, you should see my place. It's an absolute dump. So now places, I think, are actually trying to like buy housing and provide it for coaches.
For coaches.
Because some of those places, you know, if you're in a major city, good luck. Oh, great, you're making 150 grand a year. You can't live anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, you're in Palo Alto.
All right, story time with Joey Harrington every Friday, 5:30. Let's talk about leadership from the quarterback position, but we'll do it next. More with Joey next on The Fam. All right, back in studio, story time with Joey Harrington, former NFL quarterback. Now, when we left off story time last week, when Luke was in for Souk, we talked a lot about money.
Cash, and leading straight cash, up, homie.
We sure did. Yep. And leading up to, you know, preparing yourself to be rich and preparing yourself for the NFL and maybe relating that to what Justin Herbert's going through. Your advice for Justin Herbert was, when he gets to the NFL, be more vocal. Be more vocal than I was. Be more vocal than you want to be.
Yes, I can't remember if I put it directly that way. I would say take charge.
Take charge.
Take charge. However that.
So relating to John Beilein is something we've talked about today. Beilein's his coach of the Cavs, heavy-handed guy, always been really successful in college. Goes to the NBA, can't relate to any player, and he's fired in 54 games. He gets a 5-year contract. He's out of there in 54 games. The players hate him. How did you, from the quarterback perspective, and you're the guy, you're the franchise savior in Detroit, how do you walk into a locker room and lead guys from all different socioeconomic backgrounds?
Well, I didn't. You know, that's kind of how it turned out. I would definitely do things differently because the interesting thing is all those guys see your contract, right? They don't see you as, I won't say they don't see you as a person, but a good majority of them, especially the vets, you know, those guys who 3, 4, 5, 6 years in, who are the journeymen who make up the majority of that roster.
They make you stand up in camp and you got to say who you're at or who you are, where you're at. And more importantly, what's the signing bonus?
Exactly. And so one of the things, so I'll never forget Matt Ryan. I was in Atlanta when he was drafted. And he came in, and one day, you know, we were a couple weeks into camp and, you know, into mini camp. And one day he's got people who are like up in the, you know, the ceiling of the locker room, like measuring and ladders. I was like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know, hiring some guys to put a sound system into the locker room. He's like, put a sound system in the locker room? What do you? And he's like, yeah, the guys wanted me to do that. I figured I'd do that for the guys. It's like, oh, that's a smart one. That's a smart move. So, you know, he took a good chunk of money and put in a big old sound system in the Falcons locker room. And it's like, huh, that's a good way to endear yourself to your teammates who are looking at you as
the big money quarterback.
Exactly. But there's also the flip side of that, because if you come in and start spending money, just spending it all around, then it looks like you're showing off.
You're Ryan Leaf.
Right. Exactly. And so to find that border, so they're going to get it from you either way. So when I was in Detroit, my rookie year, they throw a rookie party, and essentially what that translates to is the vets, whether it's one or two or 10 of them, plan the biggest party they can find or they can put together, and invited the entire city of Detroit, and then handed the rookies the bill.
Yeah.
But, the way it was divided based on which round you were drafted in. And so, the seventh round pick paid $2,000, the sixth round pick paid $4,000, all the way up to me, the first round pick, and they handed me a bill for like $35,000. I was like, wait, what? Like, yeah, we had a party. You need to pay for it. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm guessing it's the biggest check you've ever written in your life at that point.
Oh, at that point, absolutely. And so, it wasn't we were having a party. You have to pay for it. Yeah. Here's when it is, show up. So I show up, and literally the entire, it seemed like the whole city was there. I mean, it's like some club downtown. Yeah. And I mean, there are just people walking around with bottles and, just taking them all over. Yeah. It's like, who are these people? I walk up to the bar. I was like, "Hey, can I get a drink, or can I get something?" Like, "Yeah, sorry, we're out." I was like, "No, no, 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 no." See all this? Like that was my paycheck. That was my no. I'm going to have something. Like, well, we got like this Jägermeister. I was like, "Fine, I'll take it. Like, whatever it is. Like, I'm getting something because I'm looking at all these people here that are drinking on my tab, and I have no idea what is going on."
Interesting. So it's the money.
It is purely the money.
You walk in there,
but okay. So you establish yourself as some. I would say someone who's willing to share, but then you have to play, right? I mean, it only takes you so far, because the moment you don't play well, you're done.
Can you lead if you're unsuccessful?
No, I would put an asterisk by that with Marcus Mariota this year. Right. He wasn't leading, but he provided a great example of how you can be a supportive teammate and not be a distraction. So in that sense, he was potentially leading by example after he got benched. But if you're not successful on the field, the guys don't care what you're making. They don't care who you are. Like, your poor play affects their family. Yeah. Right. And that's the conversation that I had with Dre Bly, after he had, Mariucci got released, and, he calls me out in front of, all of the entire country. And, we sit down and talk about it.
What did he say?
Well, he went on ESPN.
Dre Bly is a DB, by the way.
Yeah, defensive back. Made a couple Pro Bowls.
Yeah, player.
Good player. And he went on and said that I was the reason that Mariucci got fired.
Oh.
And I mean, just like blasted it out. Yeah. He was pissed, when it happened, because Mariucci was a really agreeable coach. He wasn't a heavy-handed guy, and he was good to his players. And Dre's, Dre's point to me was, look, you're not playing well enough, which I wasn't, and you're affecting my family, and you're affecting, all these other guys in the locker room. It's like that's true. That's fine. But what you don't see is all the other things that go into it that affect me, right? Why is my play at this level? Well, because part of it is mine, but part of it is also A, B, C, and D. And I can't be successful if that's not in place. And so guys don't care, right? Guys, they truly don't. I mean, it is not I'm going to give him a little benefit of the doubt because, he's a nice guy and he put a sound system into the locker room. And I know his wide receivers aren't working really hard and they don't study with him, but so I'm going to give him a break. No, you're the quarterback. You're getting paid the money. Do it or get the hell out of town, and we're going to find somebody who can.
So all this talk about, Justin Herbert's quiet, and they went through this with Mario, none of that stuff really matters. It's like, just win. If you win, guys are going to follow you.
Just win.
If you don't, you're probably going to be out on your ass in a couple of years.
But is there an element, if you're not a natural leader, if you're not vocal, it's harder to get people on board. And if you don't have people on board, that affects the performance. It's like a chicken and the egg sort of thing, right?
Yes-ish. If you need that. There are certain guys that can just show up and go chuck it, right? And sometimes that works, right? And then all that camaraderie comes afterward because you've shown that you can just go out and chuck it and you don't care what happens.
But there's process guys. Like I always say, like with truly elite guys, right? It doesn't matter where they're at. They're going to end up being successful. Maybe not to the level, you know, with certain teams, but they're going to, Patrick Mahomes was going to be successful wherever he goes. Maybe not Andy Reid successful in Kansas City, but I think the vast majority of guys aren't. I think the vast majority of guys fall into the category that you probably fell into where you have the talent or you wouldn't be there. And it's a matter of circumstances and what is put around you as far as coaching staff, players, and all those little things that go into whether or not you end up being successful.
I might actually argue that Patrick Mahomes, that there is, I don't know.
Say it. You want to say it.
Well, but I guess my point is you say Drew Brees is one of those guys, right?
Sure.
Drew Brees is one of those guys. Drew Brees was about to get run out of town in San Diego, right? Drew Brees literally was, the only reason that he played is because they picked Phillip Rivers to replace him.
Yeah.
Right? They were throwing him out. And then Phillip Rivers held out, and so Drew Brees got back on the field that year, right? So even a guy like Drew, who you look at and say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, the leading passer in the history of everything, can go wherever he wants and take a team to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl. At the beginning of his career, he wasn't that guy. And so I might argue that Patrick Mahomes did land in the right situation in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And not to say that he couldn't have been as good as he is now somewhere else, but even the Peyton Mannings, even the Drew Breeses, even the Brett Favres, who started in Atlanta, right? Brett Favre was an Atlanta Falcon before he was a Green Bay Packer. Nobody remembers that, right? So
they traded him for a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
He was a drunk. Remember that?
Yeah.
Glanville told us.
Yeah, Glanville was like, dude, he just was a kid that just drank and didn't pay any attention, was a raw talent guy. He's like,
gotta get rid of him.
Yeah, we didn't want him.
He went to jail.
Yeah.
You realize that he missed the team picture his rookie year because he was in jail. Jail.
Well, yeah. It
and
happens.
One of the five or six greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Right.
You know, and think about how different that ends up if he doesn't end up in Green Bay. If he gets sent out of Atlanta and he ends up in Arizona, ooh, which at the time, I know it's different now, but when we were there, Arizona was viewed as a death sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was viewed as like that you had to pay for like a Gatorade in order to get it. Like if he ends up being dealt from Atlanta to Arizona, Brett Favre's career is over.
Right.
There would have been no structure there. So maybe you're right to that point is no matter who you are, maybe you need a little bit of that to, you know, right place, right time, right circumstances.
Well, you got a little of the death sentence. I mean, freaking Lions.
Well, but yes-ish.
They're terrible.
But it wasn't the death sentence then, right? Even when I was drafted, so there were five teams that were looking for quarterbacks. Buffalo, Cincinnati, after Houston. Houston took David Carr. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Washington, Kansas City, and Detroit. And Buffalo and Cincinnati, those were the death sentences. Like, we did not want to go there.
You didn't, Kansas you didn't City view Detroit that way.
Kansas City and Washington, that I wanted to go to Kansas City. That was where I hoped to end up with Dick Vermeil. And then Detroit was just kind of middle of the road because they were only 2 years removed from Barry Sanders, right?
Yeah, okay.
You know, there were some, they were never a great team, but they were average. Right, they were 8-8.
Yeah, like they were Herman Moore, right? Yeah. Some of those guys.
I guess
Brett
that
Perriman,
was a long time
Scott
ago.
Scott Mitchell, you know, Robert Porche. I mean, they had some good guys. They just never had the quarterback to pair with Barry. And it wasn't until after Barry left that they truly became the death sentence.
The Lions.
All right, Joseph, we're gonna have to put a pin in it, and we'll get.
Actually, I got a pin out of it.
Yeah, did you hear that story?
Yes. By the way, we need to tweet out a photo of that. Joey's hand out of the cast.
It's like, massive.
It's like the Crypt Keeper's hand. It's like he's got leprosy.
A little swollen. Ooh.
Look at that thing.
So he's got a cast on his right. What happened to your wrist?
I had a ligament reconstruction in my wrist.
And you just got the pin out today, and he showed us the video of it.
Maybe moisturize a little bit.
Disgusting. They said not to do that yet, or else it'll turn into like this cakey mess. So I'm just going to scratch all the dead skin off on your lap. See how
it's, it's a good look. Have you tried like holding your wife's hand with that yet? Like put it on her shoulder. See what?
Hey, baby. Why do you have dandruff?
Feel a little frisky. Yeah. Maybe this hand might get you in the mood.
All right, Joey, every Friday in studio with us here at 5:30, courtesy of BMW of Portland. We'll talk to you next week. Club is next on The Fam.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.